One of these days, Jared,
I'll be right about anything ever.
You'll be
ever.
Right about something. Welcome to the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast, the only podcast that empties out the bag, strips naked, shows you every crevice. I don't have the idol, I swear. I'm your host, Stephen Levine, with my co-host, Jared Sheldon. Jared?
Blur this, Manda.
Jared, where's the idol?
Oh my god, if you would have had a trench coat on, that would have been perfect. Stephen just flashed me. I saw his whole schlong.
Yeah. Oh god.
It's like from the Drop It episode, how big's the schlong? Or from the Game Changer episode.
Okay, not to jump way to the end. This had me rethinking what constitutes a sweep.
So interesting.
We have about an hour to come to that conclusion.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And we'll have to decide, is this a sweep? Is this not a sweep?
I don't think it is. My gut instinct is that it isn't. A sweep is supposed to be the entire tribe saying, no, you gotta go.
Sure.
And this is not the entire tribe saying that. It's just the only ones who were allowed to have a voice. They really went American democracy for this episode. They went with the Electoral College of tribal votes.
By letter of the law, the vote was 2 votes Alexis, no votes anybody else.
Yeah, technicality, there were votes for Amanda. They just didn't count.
Okay. I'm following what is...
Jeff doesn't say these votes don't exist. He says they don't count.
I think in a lot of things...
They're disenfranchised.
If your vote doesn't count, you... Oh, no. Okay, well, we'll come back
Parv to that. Parv and Amanda live in Wyoming, and the other 5 of them live in California. Or 4 of them.
Oh, Jared, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I do... Is this fun for you all just to hear me say things? Like, this is a trap. This, everything is a trap all of the time. Like, and I need to remember the lesson I need to learn for predicting medical situations going forward is if medical is getting called, you are going home. That is it. Because we've heard about people like Boo, who tore his ACL and then after the season found out, or Adam, I think it was, in Cook Islands, I think that was his name. I remember who, the big guy. And he was apparently playing on some fucked up knee. And it's like, okay, so we don't get see those. If we see it, that person's gone.
What about Aris?
Well, that doesn't really count. That was the last day. They didn't have a chance to get infected.
I wouldn't say it's a hard and fast rule like that.
But I'm going to say it is now because okay. Every other time I've been wrong.
That's fair.
I have been wrong 3 times this season, confidently. Well, I wouldn't say I was confident on the last one. I was saying it doesn't seem like that big of a deal, so he'll probably go home. Because I was thinking it's like, it's the end of the game. They'll probably flush it out. And like they want to give one where it's like, oh no, look, you can still stay and play.
I just want to harken back to earlier in the season where I was like, man, how many people can possibly drop in a single season? And I didn't even count I didn't even count Alexis in this
Alexis isn't, but you don't count her.
Injured to the point that she can barely stand.
No, this season's cursed.
She's not.
If anything, it's like Chet should count and not Alexis.
I think both should count. They both got severely injured.
Alexis went home on a legitimate vote that required an idol. She
Correct.
Would have,
oh, no.
She would have stayed.
She was very much adamant, I am staying. I am not injured to the point that I need to go. Medical is not pulling me out of this game. There's no pus seeping from my knee.
And they probably braced her knee and we just didn't see it because she stayed and then got voted out.
They didn't brace her knee. She was hobbling.
I'm saying they, but she had her buff over it. Maybe they did. Who knows? Because they didn't show it. Because if they did do it, they didn't show it. Because why would they? She didn't go home and I'm an idiot. That's all I'm saying.
That's all Jared's saying.
I'm the biggest idiot. And Steven, yesterday you said to me when we were recording the episode of the Patreon, you should go listen to that. It's really good. Eco Challenge fucking slaps, as we found out. You were like, this episode, the episode that we're recording right now, 12, I think this is? 11?
12.
12. 12 you can watch on your own, 13 you have to watch with me. And I said out loud, I was like, that's final 6. Okay. Like, that's a weird number to need to watch that one together. So something, like, absolutely crazy must happen. Nope. Turns out it's final 5.
Yeah.
How do you keep a straight face with some of that stuff?
It's kind of fun.
God.
It's... I can't overemphasize anything, because if I'm like, oh, this is a big deal, or like you say something to me and I'm like, you're either spot on or you're way wrong, I can't give you anything.
Listen, I know exactly what that feels like as a DM, as a dungeon master, because you guys will say shit and I purposely have the exact same reaction, whether it's right or wrong. I'll go, okay, interesting. Regardless of what it is, because I have to like have scripted reactions so I don't give shit away.
That reaction, the okay, interesting, always just makes me go, well, we fucked this up.
No, but it's also, that can also be right. Sometimes I don't have a good poker face if you guys are doing something completely fucking insane. Where I'll go, okay, let's see what happens.
It's fine.
Or my favorite one is reading the plan back to you guys to go, so just so I understand what's about to happen.
So I'm clear.
So I can accurately have these consequences happen. You are going to do this to this person that you know wants this, but you're going to actually try to do this to them. And people will go, yeah. And I go, really? After I just read that back to you? All right, cool. Let it rip.
Well, when you say it like that,
let it rip.
It makes it sound like a bad idea.
But I also try to throw you guys off with those sometimes, because I will also ask for clarification like that, even if it's not a bad idea or not crazy, because I will... Sometimes it's just actually for clarity's sake. So I feel like I have fooled you guys a little bit. And then there's some players at the table that are like, yeah, fuck it, let's double down on this dumb shit.
Yeah, I feel like my big win on that one was attacking the shopkeeper, who was like, what did we call him? Like, not immortal, there was some sort of big thing.
Claude?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the one.
Claude, the stealer of accents.
Yes, correct. And our fighter, Kevinth, who has a talking shield, but he's the dumbest one in the party, and the shield's possessed by a demon, so it doesn't matter that he can't influence Kevinth, because Kevinth doesn't have two brain cells to rub together.
Sometimes D&D can be fun.
It's so fun.
It's a good game.
How's your day been? Or I guess week. We didn't really talk about like our weeks on the Eco Challenge.
That's fair. I mean, start of Survivor this week, 48, which I said in the last episode, but I'm just jazzed that it's back. I think it's going to be a good cast. Like I said before, I am playing in the unranked Survivor fantasy pool.
Cool.
And after 1 week, I am at the top.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I'm claiming my territory as a Survivor podcaster. Steven, number one. Technically tied at number one, but number one nonetheless.
Maybe us analyzing the show on a, like, on a storytelling basis gives you an advantage, as we've been doing it for 2.5 years.
I think you're right, but also I went solely on vibes. Like, I'm judging who I want to take as a team of six from a picture and a description that I did not read.
Oh, that's a description I didn't read. You sound like me. Yeah, okay, that's fair. I guess, you wouldn't have any footage of them. You wouldn't have a first episode to go off of.
Yeah, and I think after watching the first episode, a lot of my picks are solid. One person I'm like, ooh, I'm going to probably switch you out as soon as I can.
When do you get to switch people out?
I'm not entirely sure. I think there are certain things that trigger a reroll. Like, you can swap out people from your bench or your, like, redraft your team at any point. But I think it's, like, tribe swaps and the merge.
Okay.
There may be other things that I don't know because I've never played this before. But we're going to find out.
That's a fun way to do it.
Yeah. I'm going to win this thing, damn it.
Well, one of us has to do good at something fantasy related.
I guess it's just me, because I've never been in the negative playoffs.
Ah, fuck you.
In our fantasy league.
I've been in them every year but one.
You've lost every year but one.
Two.
Oh, okay.
Two of the 4 years.
Oh, I forget we've done it 4 years. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, the first two I was the back-to-back ultimate loser. That was not fun. That third year, I was sweating every day. Because 3 in a row and... That might have been my 13th reason.
No, stop it.
I gotta stop saying that.
You gotta stop saying that. I hate it.
Me too. It's one of those things that somebody said to me and it stuck, even though I didn't want it to. You know, like phrases that you say ironically and then they stick?
Yeah. Like, there's a McDonald's in the Pentagon.
There's a McDonald's in the Pentagon.
You know what else there is in the Pentagon? emails. If you want to email us, feel free to do so. SurvivorTBT@gmail.com, or you can message us on Reddit, u/SurvivorTBT, or on Patreon. You wanted to set me up so bad.
I tried to set you up like 4 times.
And I said no.
And you said, I'll set myself up.
In volleyball, that's illegal.
Yeah, correct.
Anyway, we just have one email. It's from Michael. Michael C. says, hi guys, fell behind on the pod while on the West Coast for a conference the last week or so. A lot of emails covered familiar group already, but I wanted to share a couple things about the post-swap tribes, especially Irai.
Next, we get very little of Irai because they don't lose any immunity challenges.
So it was shared at one point that Jason, Eliza, Kathy, and Penner made an alliance, but what is less well known is that Alexis, and to a certain extent, or to a lesser extent, Natalie, were going to potentially join that too and vote out Parv if they ever lost a challenge.
Wow.
Alexis got pretty close to Penner while Natalie was a little closer to Parv, and they still had a tacit alliance with Jason from the pre-swap. However, once Penner was medevaced, they jumped ship to Parv's side. So basically, if that tribe had ever lost before Jonathan left, Parv was a goner. But afterwards, and especially after Kathy was gone too, Eliza or Jason likely leave.
Oh, you know, we talk about how bad of a draw Amy got, but man, Eliza got a really bad draw.
Got a pretty bad draw.
To have half of your alliance get medevaced and then the rest of it be Jason, that's a tough fucking roll of the dice. Oh, yeah, wait, that explains part of Parv's hatred, because I was thinking of it just from, like, the favorites tribe. I kind of forgot they were on Irai together.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because it was never relevant.
No, it never once did it come up. They're like, oh, yeah.
And if Parv knew she was in the minority before the Penner evac, like, yeah, she'd hold that grudge.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Are you saying Parv would hold a grudge?
No, never.
Also, during some of the exile visits with Jason/Chet, Jason/Tracy, across tribal alliance was made with Jason, Eliza, Kathy, Amy, Tracy, Eric, but obviously nothing ever came of that.
Wow, yeah.
Fascinating.
What a different and worse season it would be if that had come to fruition. Like, the only person in there that I really like seeing on screen are Tracy and Eric. Mm. Well, that's not true. I like Natalie and Alexis quite a bit, too. But there's some duds in there.
The Eliza versus Parv feud is super interesting, as it's never totally explained why they loathe each other so much. I can only suppose they rubbed each other the wrong way, and targeting each other early on just burned all the bridges there.
Yeah, there's also that, like, mean girl versus kind of annoying girl mentality. I forgot about that. Like, girl on the outside and mean girl, like, it's, yeah, it's very catty.
The Aussie blindside was a big deal at the time, since people assumed that this was basically a coronation edit for him, and he would be unstoppable with Amanda, James, Eric at his side.
That's so funny, because the edit to me was screaming, this man is going home.
The hubris. I love his downfall arc, and I think it sets him up nicely for his next returnee stint in season 23. But something you may be curious to learn, Amanda was in on the Aussie blindside, as we talked about a little bit. This was revealed maybe like 3 years ago, but she voted with him in order to maintain the facade. Now, this will be contradicted by her own confessionals at various points going forward.
Constantly.
And it's possible she didn't want to do it at that moment, since it did swing power in the alliance to Parv's side, but she does still have leverage with James and Eric to counterweight Parv's deal with Natalie and Alexis. And then there's Ceree waving her web in the middle.
Yeah, that's interesting. Both, I never really considered that both could be true. That she knew it was coming but didn't know when.
Mm-hmm.
And so that she can be legitimately surprised and also not that surprised.
Great season, isn't it?
That's so good.
Yeah, through reception. The reception was pretty mid at the time due to the pre-merge. It is picking up steam now and will be quite a ride to the finale. I saved my whole season thoughts for when we get there, but I did have a question for you. Who from the fans do you think is playing the best game?
Or has played?
Yeah.
Man, this next episode with Eric will be really interesting, because I said a couple episodes ago, if he has the killer instinct, he actually is in a really good position by just being the puppy dog.
Mm-hmm.
And if it wasn't for Amanda finding that idol, like, he kind of pulls the trigger here. Like, Amanda tries to guilt him and he doesn't. So he's in a really good position and has played that even if it's a strategy that I don't fully understand or like as much, it's working really well for him.
Yeah.
Natalie's also playing a really, really good game.
Yeah, I would agree.
If Parv wasn't here, I think she'd be running the Parv side of the game. Like, I think Ciri's also running the game, as we kind of talk about this episode.
She's Parv light.
Yeah, basically. Which kind of sucks when you're on the season and you're like, shit, the other person that does what I do but better is right there next to me in my alliance.
He does exactly what I do, only better.
It's Natalie and cooler Natalie.
Yeah. Michael says, I have two candidates, but I'll save my own thoughts for later. Yeah, I think Natalie, I think prior to this move, Alexis was in good shape.
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we get there more in more detail. I'm kind of shocked she goes home because we don't get a ton of Alexis this season, even though every time she's talking to people, she seems really interesting. She has a really dynamic face, which is something that the camera usually loves. And seems to have been in like a decent spot with good strategy, but she is always like the fourth most important person in any given alliance.
I'm going to put it this way. She is the Amanda equivalent to Parv.
She's Natalie's Amanda.
Correct.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And that you watch it, and unless she has something important to do, she's there strategizing, she's there making moves. But Natalie is often a better storyteller of those moves.
Sure.
And is fine being the bad guy in those moves.
And you're only going to get the Amanda to Parv if you're on the winning side and Alexis loses. So why give her more time?
And Alexis is the far better at making relationships, keeping those relationships. It's just things didn't go well for her at the end.
Yeah, I guess I would actually say it's more like Amanda to, rather than Amanda to Parv, like Alexis is Amanda to Parv, it's Amanda to Todd.
Oh, sure.
Like, maybe, I don't know, that she has her own plans and strategies, because this Amanda, both Amandas had a lot of agency. I don't know what Alexis's game was. Interesting. I mean, I do. We don't know the nuances. We don't know which way she was going to break, what her and Natalie's plans were, because it's not important.
Right. Yep. Ugh,
what a good fucking season.
What a good season. Ugh. Can't wait. Can't wait to wrap this one
up. You've never told me for a non-finale episode, because we just watch all the finales together, that we have to watch it together so you can see my reactions live.
I have to watch this next one with you.
I'm like excited and nervous. And we have to wait a week.
We have to wait a week.
Ugh.
To get ready for that.
We had to record on the weekends because my week is shot.
Can't wait. Bumper.
All right, so this episode came out on May 1st of 2008. Just pulled one thing in the week between episodes. Albert Hoffman, the Swiss chemist who first synthesized and ingested LSD, dies of a heart attack at 102.
Whoa.
So apparently LSD makes you live forever.
Don't say that.
That's not real. No.
For any lawyers out there, that was a spoof. That was being a joke.
Don't do LSD as a way to live longer. Also, Stephen, we live in the golden age of scams. I don't know that there's any accountability anymore for people saying crazy shit and selling crazy shit.
Hey, if it doesn't make Aaron Rodgers a better quarterback until his 50s, then it won't make you live longer.
That was not... Well, I mean, maybe he was doing LSD, but it wasn't reported.
He was doing
LSD.
Ayahuasca.
Yeah, which is different. You want to make, like, just barely not LSD that's, like, legal and sell it as a scam together?
No.
Okay. The number one song on the charts has changed to Lollipop by Lil Wayne.
I don't remember that song at all.
Banana lollipop. No, maybe that's Candy Shop.
It's Candy Shop.
Let's listen to it.
All right. I'm pulling it up, I guess.
I got it. Steven looked appalled while that song was going on.
I was trying to sit there and be like, I guarantee I've heard the song before, but it is sparking no memories in my brain.
It's a song.
We are moving toward, and I know I've said this before, the most homogenous era of music. And everything,
of top 40s music.
Everything sounds so similar that I couldn't even tell you if I've heard that song before.
Well, it's also, it's Lil Wayne. It's not like that's who you listened to.
But it was on the radio, and I was listening to the radio at this time.
I did mix it up with like three other songs before exactly. We turned it on. But it, the word lollipop is very generic.
Yeah.
Anyway, the top five movies are 21, The Forbidden Kingdom, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, we're going to talk about number two. Number one is Baby Mamba, but number two, and our focus for this segment, Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay.
Oh, Steven, that has a different context now, doesn't it? Oh, man.
Well, I mean, not really. Like, it, like, mind you, this, like, part of this is that they are people of color charged falsely with terrorism.
Yeah.
It's more sad that it's still relevant.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
Well, are you familiar with this movie?
Yes. So I know that this is the sequel to the Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle film, which is a stoner comedy. This is, I'm assuming, a lot on the same vein, that it's very goofy and off the wall, and Neil Patrick Harris is their savior for whatever reason.
I don't know if he is in this one.
Oh, okay.
Okay. After the high-flying stoners, Cal Penn, John Cho, try to smuggle a bong aboard a flight to Amsterdam, the two find themselves in jail on charges of terrorism. After making an amazing escape, Harold and Kumar flee to Texas by way of Florida, where they hope to convince Harold's well-connected friend, Eric Winter, to help them out of their predicament. The problem is, Harold's pal is about to marry Kumar's ex-sweetie, Danielle Harris. What do you think this is rated on Rotten Tomatoes, Steven?
I don't think this is going to be a very good movie. I think audience is going to be higher than critic score. Critic score of 22. Audience score of 42 with a little zero in parentheses afterward.
Hey, that would have been great. No, you're a little low, but not by... It's still like below 70.
Got it.
53% critic, 60% audience. Surprisingly close. Hmm. The critics' consensus is, it may not equal its predecessor, but Harold and Kumar's Escape from Guantanamo Bay is still good for some laughs and food for thought.
All right.
I do want to talk about Cal Penn for a minute, because his career is fascinating, because I've heard him on podcasts and stuff before.
He's all over the place.
He is all over the place. So he's done a bunch of actor stuff, but then in April 2009, so like a year after this came out, Penn joined the Obama administration as an associate director in White House official or Office of Public Engagement as liaison for outreach to Asian Pacific Americans and arts communities. This necessitated that his hit character Lawrence Kuttner be written out of house. Penn briefly left his post in June 2010 to film the third installment of the Harold and Kumar series, a very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas, returning to his White House job upon the film's completion. In July 2011, he again left the White House to accept a role in television series How I Met Your Mother, and then he was big in Designated Survivor, where he was a consultant on the show, and then worked for NBC on a sitcom, and then did a Political Talk miniseries. So he just like keeps whipping back and forth between acting and stuff and being a political guy. And like, imagine having to leave your White House job to go be the star in Harold and Kumar. Like, hey, I gotta go do this stoner comedy while weed is still very illegal.
Yeah, I gotta go do it.
And I'll be back in 6 months, I guess.
Imagine penning that letter to Obama saying, hey, Mr. President Barack Obama, I gotta go do this thing, so can I take a leave of like 4 months? Thanks.
It's just funny because like, I don't know the movies that well, but they're supposed to be like dumb stoner comedies.
Yeah,
and he's so fucking smart.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Anyway, that's it.
All right, then let's get into the episode. Episode 12. I'm gonna fix her.
Where does this come from?
James says
it. Besides my entire dating history.
James says it, and it's a pretty one-off. I don't know why they picked this, of all things, because there were better quotes throughout.
I don't even remember where he says this, clearly. I don't even know what this could be in relation to. Talk about his finger?
I forgot, exactly. Maybe I took the note. We're going to find out.
We're going to find out.
Yep. So we start where we left off, medical, taking a look at James, and they go out to the medical services boat, and James is explaining to us that it's fine. It was a clam cut that just I was trying to ignore. and it's no big deal.
Is everything in this island laced with infection poison?
Yes.
Like, is this the poison swamp from Dark Souls that they're all just taking constant damage?
Yes.
This is a cursed season.
Yeah.
This is so crazy, because this is Chet, basically, I mean, being voted off, but medically discharged, essentially. Penner. Kathy, that's not really the island's fault, to be fair, but it's part of it.
It's part of it.
James and Alexis also getting injured to the point of at least it affecting her game.
Yeah.
Like, she wouldn't have been a force in the challenges at all going forward.
Which also makes this vote fascinating to me.
Yeah, you don't want a motivational speaker making it to the jury.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a good time.
You're not wrong, but she's also not a threat in the challenges whatsoever.
I know. If they had a more physical challenge for this immunity, I think Natalie goes home.
Mm.
But I think they were like, well, we can't even guarantee that the rest of the challenges will be physical.
That's
like,
true.
Like, remember, Amanda did China, and like Alexis could do that final challenge in China on that leg. So they also have some insight from her of like, hey guys, the final challenge doesn't have to be this like really intense physical thing. It might not be.
You never know.
Never know.
All right. Well,
but I love how rational James is about this. Is he's just like, in his confessional, he's like, yeah, I mean, I need my hand.
He does.
I need my hand. I gotta work.
He's gotta dig graves.
It's just, there's no fear. There's no anxiety. He's just like, yeah, I mean, I might have to go home. That'd suck. Anyway. And clearly they had one long interview with him after medical.
Yeah.
Like, literally, like, in the jungle, and then sent him home so they could get all this footage. Because he's in the same place talking about this from the boat to when he goes home.
Yeah, and they picked and chose clips of when they want to show and where. But essentially, the doctor's like, hey, it's very clearly infected. We'll take a look at it. We'll clean it up tonight. We'll take a look at it in the morning. And if it's not getting better, if it's getting worse, we might have to pull you from this game.
From Survivor Infection Island.
Yeah.
That's the theming of the season.
Survivor Antibiotics.
This episode brought to you by Pfizer. Or whoever makes antibiotics.
Yeah. So, we get back to camp, and Anna's like, can you reiterate, like, what they said? Are you out of the game? And James is like, obviously not.
I'm here.
I'm not going anywhere. He says it's going to be all right.
Alexis, he's wrong.
Alexis eats it in the middle of the night. She hurt her knee. And you kind of see, similar to other injuries, like, not a puncture wound, but a place where a puncture wound could be. It's the dent bruise.
That looked more like skinning.
Yeah. Than 100%.
It's not Penner. It's not abscessed.
But you're like, another one.
No, I was more worried she like tore her ACL or like her MCL or fucked up her knee real bad.
Yeah. And Cerie's sitting there just twiddling her fingers. Hey, I know this is bad and I'm a nurse, but if they both go home, that's two less people to fight for $1 million, huh?
They are so fucking lucky that there were 20 people on this season.
Uh-huh.
Because we have lost 3 episodes worth of vote-offs. Because if you want to, Alexis is not a mercy killing. Chet is a mercy killing, but those votes still happen.
They did.
But this is 3 episodes with 2 people going home in each of them that you're running out of content. Or I guess, like, I don't know, you'd have to really spread out the episodes, because the way people have been going home are like after reward challenges. I guess we've seen that before, though, and they just really extend the pre-reward challenge content and talk about a lot of strategy that will be relevant in the next couple of episodes when that happens. But it's challenging.
It is challenging. And honestly, it's better that people go home in the early section of the episode than in the late section of the episode, because then it forces Survivor to make a choice. Is someone going home this episode, or do they just get a free pass?
Yeah. I was kind of surprised somebody went home this episode. And it makes me wonder if this will be a final 2.
Oh, really?
Well, because now we're at 5. Well, I guess we could do a finale episode with 4 and only sending one person home and then going to a final 3 to final tribal. But typically when there's 4 people in a finale episode, we're doing a final 2, not a final 3.
And as we've seen before, like, they have... It spread out 3 days is the cycle, but then it kind of gets compressed toward the end, right? Yeah. So it gives them a little more leeway that they don't have to compress everything at the end.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So then we do a reward challenge, and there are statues of everyone's likeness, and this is the pecking order challenge.
These statues are ugly.
They're ugly, but they're kind of funny.
It's pecking order plus trivia, or not trivia, because usually pecking order is
the
trivia.
Poll.
Yes, thank you. The survey.
And straw poll.
Putting them together, which I don't remember if we've done this before. Maybe we did in Panama. It's evil, though. I like it.
We've done this before. Yeah, you're right.
Maybe they did it in China, too, actually.
It's evil, and it's to make people think that...
The part I don't think we've done it with before is adding the family members.
No, that is new.
And this is a really high-stakes reward for a pecking order challenge.
And it's fascinating watching the family members watch the pecking order.
Yeah, that was the only downside, was that I like when they make the family members compete,
mm-hmm.
and this time they're just an audience. Now, I would have liked the contestants to take the survey and the family members answer it.
That would have been funny.
And then you can still have the contestants choose who gets chopped, but I want them to guess who talks the most on the island.
I also want the jury involved, like for them to answer the questions in the survey, so then you have more things at play than just these are the six people.
It's a good point, because if you, Jeff says it doesn't have to be the answer that you picked, but you are 1/6 of the vote.
Right.
So you're probably just going to pick what you picked.
And most did. And most questions weren't like super big spreads, but some of them were.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love the jury. Yeah, one or the other. I don't think you want both. I don't think you want the family members answering if it's the jury also giving their answers. They don't know those people. They don't know the other contestants either. So they'd be going entirely off vibes. But I just think that would be fun.
Yeah. Anyway, we roll out the family members. We get Parv's mom, Gail. We get Eric's brother, Kurt.
Their interaction is so funny. Eric's such a fucking dweeb.
That's Jeff Probst. He's just standing there menacingly.
And Jeff goes, Eric, you're a freak.
Hilarious.
He calls him a freak. I love it. He also is like, I got a beard. And I'm like, oh, sweet baby boy. Oh. That's not a beard.
For him, it is.
Yeah.
Natalie's mom, Rocky.
Wait, we got Rocky back?
Yeah.
He called up Jeff on the Jeff phone and went, hey, Jeff, I'm her mom now.
Look at me. Look at me. I'm the mom. She shows her mom her armpit hair, which is hilarious. Alexis's brother, Nathan. Amanda's sister, Katrina.
Which, wasn't she also the family member for China?
Yeah, because she says, you smell better than last time.
Yeah, so homegirl just got to travel the world on Survivor's dime.
I'm all for it.
Good for her. That's a great hustle.
Yeah. Not even having to survive. You just show up for a week and then go home.
I need you to make me a promise.
Oh, okay.
That you are never allowed to break.
Oh.
If you get to the family visit in Survivor, you better pick me.
I think my spouse would be a little upset about that one.
I don't care. That's my payment for doing this.
You see,
that's my reward.
This is my friend who does a podcast with me.
What's about? We can't talk about that.
Don't you worry about it. No big deal. Anyway, Jared, what do you know? What do you know about these people?
No, listen. And like, I'm going to pull the diabetic card. Michaela can play Survivor if they want to go.
Michaela doesn't want to play Survivor.
That's their problem. I'm not allowed on Survivor, so...
You got a good point.
It's the closest I could ever get.
I will not make the unbreakable vow, but I'll consider it as an option.
All right, fair enough.
This theoretical me getting on Survivor situation.
Make it happen, listeners. Connor, you have an in. We know it.
Anyway, they're planning to go to Jellyfish Lake. Oh, I didn't say James's dad, James Sr.
Straight off a business conference call.
Yeah.
And why are you dressed like that walking into the jungles of Fiji? You must be so hot.
And Cerie's husband, HB, back again.
What? We don't get enough HB.
He's great.
He's awesome. And he goes, like, Cerie goes, and we don't even get to hear from HB about Jellyfish Lake. And, like, yeah, I love Cerie. I want to hear from Cerie. I want to hear from HB.
Mm-hmm.
I love HB.
HB was so cool last time that we're kind of robbed here.
I mean, even the fans are like, oh my God, it's HB, because they remember him.
Yeah. So... we're playing for a trip to Jellyfish Lake, but we're also, New Exile Island clues are in play. You can go find an idol.
I expect them to kind of phone this in since it's the third one, or hell, just use Jason's clues again, because
nobody else went to exile while he was there.
It's true.
The third set's probably the most interesting.
It's very interesting.
So I guess good on them for not phoning it in. I want to give kudos to production because they have had some fucking challenges this season.
Yeah.
And they have made a great season out of it.
Yeah. So we then get to the questions, and same as before, you get, if you get it right, you get to chop someone, you have three lives and you're out. First question, who does the most for the tribe? James.
Too humble for his own good.
Everybody but James picks James, which is hilarious to me. And
that's, it's just, I understand it's like a humility thing, but like, James, come on, it's obviously you.
Yeah.
You know that.
You made it your personality last season. I'm assuming you did a lot of that again this time.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've seen that, kind of.
The only reason I'd be like, yeah, you can change it, is if Ozzy was still in play, who does a lot for the tribe. Same kind of wears it on his sleeve.
Oh man, imagine if James had won this. Because he would have to give up the reward to somebody else. Would only two people go?
He definitely shouldn't have gone swimming in the jellyfish lake.
He has to hold his hand above the water the entire time.
So everyone gets a hit except for Ceree and Alexis. Who never shuts up? The answer was Parv. And Amanda, James, Alexis, and Eric get that right.
And Parv's mom goes, I knew it.
Hilarious.
Because that makes sense.
Who mistakenly thinks they're in control of this game?
They love this question.
Also Parv.
Also Parv. But it was, and it puts a little bit of a wedge that doesn't seem to matter this episode between her and Ceree. Because Parv and, I believe, Alexis vote for Ceree, that mm-hmm. she mistakenly thinks she's running the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it begs the question, if Parv mistakenly thinks she's running the game, then who do they think is running the game? And I think that answer is Ceree.
That is a question. And Ceree takes the opportunity to eliminate Parv. So
eliminating her on that question is fucking tough. And huge kudos to Parv.
Mm-hmm.
And really everyone in this. Like, they mask their intentions with this pecking order challenge quite well. And Parv, like, this would send a lesser survivor player down a spiral.
Yes.
That might get them voted out this episode. And instead, she gets exactly what she wants.
This played out not how other pecking order challenges played out.
Yeah.
And everyone was aware of what this challenge was, and everyone played it in a way that wasn't like, I'm going after this person, I'm going to target them and make them feel bad. They spread the love the entire time, and it came down to the last chop.
Yeah, and Amanda and Ceree are close, and yet, like, they eliminated each other, because, yeah, that's probably the safest thing to do.
Uh-huh. Who's the most honest? Alexis, and Ceree gets it right.
That was interesting. I would have expected Eric. The man who, when he was on the wrong side of a blind side, went, yeah, that makes sense you didn't tell me. I would have definitely told him it was happening.
I also would have said Eric.
But we don't get enough of Alexis for me to really, like, know how honest she is.
Who are you least likely to invite to a family dinner? James... James is the answer, and everyone gets it but Natalie. And James is out.
Who did she put down?
I don't remember.
That doesn't matter.
It might have been Parv.
Might have been Parv. Why James, I wonder? Is it just because he's not that social?
He's not that social. He might not have, like, table etiquette. I don't know.
He does say crass things sometimes.
He does.
Yeah. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
There's not, like, there's no Jason left, you know? There's nobody to bully.
And when he gets chopped, his dad goes, wait till we get home. We're going to talk about her. Because I think it was Alexis or Natalie. One of them chopped James out.
I think so, too.
It was really funny. And then eventually we get to the point where Ceree gets to decide who wins between Amanda and Alexis and chops Amanda. So Alexis wins, takes Ceree and Natalie.
It was interesting to let Alexis win and not Amanda as Ceree.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's part of the calculation of hiding your intentions, or I don't know. Also, I did love Amanda's reactions every time somebody was chopped. She's like, it's so violent.
It's very violent.
It is very violent.
Because it's unlike other times where it was like the big swinging log, this was a full-on like spring-activated spike
death
trap.
Machine, yeah.
It was really funny.
Like, that's something like the Viet Cong would use in the 70s. Like, that thing is intense.
Yeah. And Amanda volunteers for exile here. Because Natalie has to pick, or Alexis has to pick, and she's like, I don't know, and I volunteer as tribute, send me.
Whoops.
Whoops.
That gets her voted out.
It does.
Wow, I didn't put the dots together that Alexis was the one that sent her.
It's a real big problem there sometimes.
Yeah, why would you send, I guess unless you think she's not going to find it, why would you send somebody that you are worried about? Because at this point in the episode, we don't really know that Amanda would be the target of those girls. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh yeah, anybody but Eric is fine.
I think they were playing the odds that, like, hey, you know what? If Eric has it...
You can't send Eric.
You can't send Eric. No, no, no. And I think that's what her initial thought was, like, anybody but Eric. Oh, but my second choice is Amanda, and that is now a problem.
Yeah.
Because immunity comes into play.
Yeah.
Sometimes
two episodes in a row of sending the wrong person to exile.
You gotta chess your moves more than one play at a time.
But what are your other options? Parv and James? I mean, I guess in hindsight, should have been James because mm-hmm. he was getting medevaced.
I guess it's who between the two do you trust and you want to work with?
Parv
more.
And Amanda. Yeah, so you send Parv, I guess.
Yeah.
But she doesn't want to piss off Parv, and Amanda volunteered, so take the path of least resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, remember, at this point, they don't think it's going to be infighting for two more votes. Hopefully two more votes if they get the right immunities.
Right.
They don't know James is about to leave the game.
Correct.
Oh, that's a really unfortunate set of circumstances for Alexis.
Yes, it is.
Wow. Oh, small domino, big domino. Oh, my God. Yeah.
So, Amanda sent no hugs. She asked if she can get a hug from her sister.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Jeff says, fuck off.
Fuck you. Go to exile right now. And says, James, hey, we got to look at your finger. Let's take medical.
I would not have expected James to get medevaced for a finger injury.
Kind of sucks, doesn't it?
It really does.
It's very Achilles. Big, strong man gets taken out by infection in finger.
By big, strong man gets taken out by battle twink and then big, strong infection in finger the next season.
Kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the blind side taking out so he can't play his idols, great.
Great.
Love that.
And really, Amanda was the architect of that move. I just like bringing up the battle twink.
Natural elements? That sucks.
Yeah, and there's just nothing anybody can do about this. Like, he got cut on a clamshell.
Yeah. I mean, same for Penner. Like,
what he should have done was seek medical attention sooner and let that be a lesson to Survivor players. Like, don't let cuts linger. Like, get antibiotics or antibiotic cream or get it cleaned out immediately.
That is the growing, like, everyone who looks back at this moment says that exactly.
So James has, in two seasons, created two very important lessons for future Survivor players.
Mm-hmm.
Play your idols, especially if you got fucking two of them.
Correct.
And get that cut checked out.
Also correct.
In the jungle. Weird how that works.
Yep. So doctor says, hey, let's take a look at it. James is like, hopefully it's not so bad. He's a big puffy white spot growing out of his hand. It looks like a mushroom from The Last of Us.
Yeah.
James or Jeff comes in. He's like, hey, is it too big of a risk? And he has to explain, we don't want to pull you from the game. We often want to make it your choice unless the doctor says that this is something that needs to be taken care of and it's too big of a risk on your health.
It's nice to hear officially that it's been standard operating procedure, it looks like, for a while, but it's nice to hear it codified that, like, medical has the final say.
Uh-huh.
They will just pull you and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yep. And medical comes in and says, hey, I could leave this, but you might lose your hand or worse, so we're pulling you. Pulling you. It's not worth it.
Yeah, the show also has to think about, like, liability. And James has to think about risk, and he doesn't make much of a stink about it. Mm-hmm. Like, I think Penner would have fought to have stayed in with this. But James is the most rational of men.
And you know what? I think seeing that moment and being like, oh, okay, that sucks for him. But coming back at Tribal with a full IV bag, that's something else.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, okay, yeah, maybe he did have to go right then and there.
Well, he had surgery, that's why.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's interesting because it's not as dramatic as, like, Bruce having to go home because of his impacted bowels where he's, like, actively dying.
Yep.
Or Penner, where it's like, oh yeah, you're not moving right, and we can see how gross it is. Like, it's a finger, but man, these small things are just as dangerous.
You're right. It's such an easy thing to play off of, like, no, it's fine. It's just a finger. He'll go home when it's done and figure it out. But in infection terms, it's not just his finger. It's his hand. It's his arm. It could move into his heart.
We take modern medicine really for granted, especially the invention of antibiotics and how fucking dangerous things like infections are.
Yep. So everyone who's off on the reward doesn't get to say goodbye to James. Only Parv and Eric get to say goodbye to James.
Yeah, they couldn't have held them from going to the reward for like 15 minutes?
Nah.
Come on.
I get it. I get that they didn't plan on pulling him from the game.
Yeah.
But it does make it unfortunate. It does make for some great reactions, though.
That's true.
Like three times in a row.
And I hope that's not something that they were calculating when they sent them on the reward. It is a fun for TV side effect, but not getting to say goodbye is kind of tough.
Yeah.
Especially for like Amanda, who has been through the trenches with James at this point.
Correct. And so he hugs Parv and Eric goodbye. Again, hugs for James. Hilarious. I think he wanted these.
I think they're going on him.
Yep. And Eric says, hey, go drink some beers. And no, the antibiotics. Don't drink the beers.
Eric, you're an idiot.
And not 5 minutes later, as the boat's pulling away, Eric's like, so I'm the only guy left.
It's so funny how Eric is idiot brackets complimentary and Jason was idiot brackets derogatory.
Yeah. Explain.
Like, Eric says dumb things and it's like, aw, you're trying. You're so cute. It's so fun. Jason says dumb things and it's like, oh, you're self-serving and gross.
And I think you're spot on. It's the malice behind the dumb things. And
yeah.
Eric is just, he's too sweet for this world.
I'm excited to see how four different women manipulate him for an hour next episode.
Yeah.
Like,
you're not wrong.
It's so obvious that's what's coming.
Oh, can't wait. So we take a little bit of time. We go to Jellyfish Lake. Honestly, nothing crazy happens here. It's beautiful. I cannot overemphasize.
Overemphasate. That's a new one.
I cannot overemphasize how beautiful this lake is.
Yeah, it's the second time we've been here, and it's just as stunning as last time.
Yep. And Suri says, hey, the jellyfish lake changed me. Made me less afraid of water. Sure.
Altered my brain chemistry.
Yeah.
Maybe not everything is trying to kill me. My nervous system is no longer afraid of the world.
On Exile, Amanda is doing the hunting.
Oh, wait, did you want to talk about James, like, when he's coming back, because he's definitely coming back, and all that now, or at the end? Yeah,
I can do that now. So, yes, you said prior to recording...
Heroes versus Villains.
He's coming back for Heroes versus Villains.
Yeah, so that would mean the guys that I remember on the Heroes tribe are James, Tom, Rupert, and Colby. So they just... And that, I think, is all the guys, right? Because it's... No, there's five guys.
Burgers
and fries. That is a stacked Heroes cast four challenges specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole lot of social game going on with all of those guys, though.
Yeah, so I'm just pulling up the list of men that we've seen before. You're right. Colby, James.
Tom, right?
Yeah, Tom. Boss and Rob for the villains,
oh,
obviously.
Yeah.
Rupert.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's all the people all the men that we've seen.
Oh,
far.
So we have some villainous men coming up, is what I'm hearing.
What? What makes you say that?
We have one of our five villainous men and only three seasons to go.
Get ready. Oh boy.
Interesting.
So,
I think that James in Future Survivor, or yes, Heroes versus Villains. It's so interesting because his game in China isn't any different than his game in Micronesia. I mean, he didn't have a lot of time to develop it. He got back from the from China and then went onto the island. But I think James is just who James is, and that can either be a great asset or it's something you have to beat because he probably wins if he gets to a final three because he's so damn likable. So
he's likable and he's not. He says things that piss off a lot of people.
True.
But yet he's so charming.
James is probably one of the best people to align with that I can think of, because even when I think you can always trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And he is at least seemingly predictable from two seasons. Like, I know what James' motivations are, and as long as I'm working, as long as we have the same motivations, he will not diverge from those.
And he is a big old shield.
He's a big old shield. Yeah. I'm excited for him to come back. Shame that he went off this way. I mean, he was going to get voted off this episode anyway.
You won't have to wait too long. Heroes versus Villains. Coming to a theater near you.
Probably the end of 2025 for us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's probably right. So, we spend some time on Exile with Amanda. Amanda does some good idol hunting. She has to go around. She has to go into the water, which is something that we haven't seen, and, like, search down below, a la Eco Challenge Fiji.
They actually just left that there. Nope, this isn't Fiji. This is Palau. Never mind.
No, I'm run with it. I like it.
They left it. That's where the medallions were for Eco Challenge Fiji. Yeah. Putting the second clue under the ladder, like under the hut for the first clue, is fucking devious.
It's great. I love that shit. Make you go run around and like, where could this be?
Though she could have figured that out in 5 minutes. We have no idea. It didn't seem like it took her that long.
They definitely showed footage of her going back to camp and like, or like the main beach and realizing, oh, right there.
Yeah. Oh, I did forget to mention with Jellyfish Lake, Alexis had to hike to Jellyfish Lake. That must have been brutal.
Between Alexis and Natalie's mom, it was a brutal hike for them.
I mean, it's worth it.
Like, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
100% worth it. You take it slow, but damn.
Mm-hmm. Tough.
Tough.
So yeah, Amanda runs around. She finds a lot of the clues, and one clue has her digging for a long time.
Yeah.
But she gets it. And then that clue says...
And she gets the idol.
But not right now. She gets told it's back at camp, buried beneath the flag.
Evil.
Evil. Kind of perfect for her, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Because what happens if she comes back to camp, idol in pocket...
Yeah, man, it's interesting, because do you just at that point say, didn't find it, and have them all trust you? Do you try to pull a fast one and, like, empty out your bag, but have it hidden somewhere else?
At this point in the game, I would probably tell them.
Hmm, interesting.
I don't know that I like telling them, but I would probably tell them.
I wonder if Amanda, I mean, it ended up working out really well because she found it, mm-hmm. but maybe if she should have just said... Yeah, I found it. And let them wonder.
It's something.
Take the threat off of you.
Yeah. I don't know.
Hmm.
Clearly, it works out in her favor. So
it does.
Whatever she did is correct.
It's just really relying on you to be able to find that idol at camp.
Yep. So we go back to camp a little bit, and... Suri is talking to all the ladies. Hey, we absolutely have to beat Eric in the next challenge. Alexis is talking about her knee and how she feels shaky and unstable. Like, it doesn't hurt a whole lot. She's just shaky.
And Parv's like, we can take care of that for you by voting you out.
Yeah. Do you want to go? We can send you out right now if you want. And Alexis is be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm not going anywhere. Hold your horses here.
Every time Parv has a target and she talks to them, like JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, like menacing, like
dunna, they, dunna,
menacing
dunna.
Music plays, and like the word menacing in Japanese just comes off the side of her head. She's so evil.
So funny. This whole scene, just great. And
yeah, they're like, would you take out Amanda? And she goes, I wouldn't vote for Amanda.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, again, it's interesting how honest Parv is.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't say...
Honest to people that she trusts.
Not necessarily. Remember Eliza being like, so it's us? And her going, let me think about it.
It's a good point.
Which is just a no. That's just a nice way to say no.
Yeah.
So, like, and James. James goes, so who are you taking in? She goes, the girls. So she is honest. She's just ruthless.
Yes.
I like that combination.
Yeah. And like you said, she says she can't have a part in taking out Amanda, but she doesn't necessarily fight to stop it.
Yeah.
Kind of in the mentality of not me at this point.
Sure. And I think it's, well, that's a future problem. Mm-hmm. We're going to get rid of Eric today. So we'll worry about that tomorrow. And she's probably like, well, I just have Amanda... Like, why fight against it when I have Amanda and probably Suri, and it's just the two of them? We're fine.
Yeah.
Because Eric will be gone, yeah. Right?
Right.
Right.
Anyway, immunity challenge. We are shooting a high-powered air rifle.
But strong compressed air.
Very strong compressed air. And, man, either that compression tank was way far away or sound editors had a nightmare to try to feed through that. Ugh.
That thing was intense. That gun is fucking huge.
It's a big-ass gun. And I think it... I don't know if it's the exact gun that we brought from... I think it was Pearl Islands.
No, it's way bigger than that.
Okay.
No, this thing is fucking huge.
And, yeah, we have to shoot 3 sake bottles in your color.
So, first of all, I just want to say the most important thing of the challenge. On that gun, Eric looks like Twink Steven Tyler Rambo. In his short shorts, giant hair, bandana around the head, and locked the fuck in.
I liked how he shoved his face so far against that gun that his nose was, like, bending down. And it worked because it lined up his sights well. But picture-wise, really funny to me.
Really funny. I was kind of disappointed by the girl's strategy here. Because at some point, it is obvious that Eric is going to win this challenge. It is obvious that some of them are going to lose this challenge. Mm-hmm. Like, Natalie's close. So why are you not aiming for Natalie's bottles? Why are you still aiming for your own? You got to get Natalie to 3 before Eric does if you really want this to be girls to 5. And they never think of that, or if they do, they never act on it.
I am curious if they were allowed to... Cause obviously, if you would have shot it and accidentally hit a bottle, it would have been like, oh... That counts, but if they were purposefully targeting a bottle, would Survivor let them do that?
They have other challenges. I mean, they just did this in China.
Yeah.
So
I agree with you. I think that's the better strategy is, all right, let's work together. Let's take him out. He's all that's standing in the way of us at 5.
And that's better for Parv, Amanda, and Suri at minimum.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why the 3 of them aren't like, great, let's get Natalie immunity.
So, they play the game. Natalie connects, Parv connects, Eric connects in the first round. Eric's the only person to hit in round 2. There are some weird... I want to see what kind of bullets that this thing is shooting. Because it ricochets off of one of them. Like, it hits just the side of the bottle.
So, I think it hits the back net.
And then comes back.
Yeah, which would kill all of the force behind it. I think they're metal BBs.
Okay.
Is my guess.
BBs.
Our patron saint.
And the man, the myth, the legend, he's sitting right above us.
Always.
And, Natalie hits in the third round. Amanda hits in the third round. But... Eric, all he has to do is hit 3 in a row, and he did. And he wins immunity.
Pretty lame challenge.
Pretty lame challenge.
It looks cool, but yeah.
I need something for them to, like, get access to the gun. Like, answer a trivia question, and then you can shoot.
Sure. Yeah, I think the gun's just too reliable.
Yeah. Like, which is not something that we want to, like, downplay. Like, if a gun's too reliable, great. That's what we want.
Well, we've done other weapons challenges with, like, slings and bows. And, like, that stuff is more impressive than, oh, the sight on this is really accurate and you lined it up and pulled the trigger. Congratulations.
I don't want them to hit it in 3 straight shots.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep. So, we get back to camp. Amanda empties her bag immediately, which is brilliant.
They get out the TSA wand and beep, beep. Beep, beep.
Look, I don't have the idol. Just take a look. Don't even worry about it. I don't have it. And then goes off and tells Parv, I do have it.
Well, no, she said I have the clues that can get me it.
Yeah.
I
technically was not a lie that I don't have it. However, I know where it is.
I was wondering if Parv was the right person to tell here. I think I would have a hard time trusting Parv, but Amanda was right.
No, Parv is the only one who, like, goes to bat for her.
I know. Suri, the scene with Suri and Amanda is fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just jump to that real quick.
Yeah, talk about it.
Because it's what I've been saying for forever, which is like, man, 6 is tough. Like, it's hard to make a stand at 6 because you can either make it to the next vote or you can go to rocks and then maybe you're going home.
Uh-huh.
Like, why would you put yourself at a 1 in 5? Because I think the personal immunity doesn't draw a rock.
Correct.
So why would you put yourself at a 20% chance of going home when you could just vote out someone that might be better for your game, but the game changes once that person's gone and you might be able to make something else happen. I would never, unless it was like, it'd have to be a really, really unique set of circumstances for me to feel like going to Rocks is the right play. And Suri basically says that.
And depending at the time of, like, in the series, sometimes the two people who are deadlocked are not eligible to draw Rocks.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So it shuts down to just...
Three. Yeah, I'm not taking a one-third chance of going home to save somebody else.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, and that's what Suri says.
But, I mean, I guess threatening it does have its own leverage, and that's a conversation that maybe will come up in the future. But I do think it's... I don't know. Amanda's question of, like, if we had the numbers, like, if your vote would get a majority, you would be with me? And she goes, yes, obviously, is such a refreshing conversation. And then that's a way of Amanda to be like, okay, so we're still good. Like, she's not going to tell her the plan, but, like, she has assurances before she has the power that Suri's still on her side, even if she's kind of forced to vote against her.
Yep.
Keeping their alliance intact and getting what she wants.
Yep.
Fucking beautiful.
It's pretty good. The only other two scenes I want to highlight here, one is where Eric talks to Alexis, and he's like, hey, I want it to be Amanda. And then Eric goes to Amanda, and it's like, it's between you and Parv. Like, that's my vote right now. And Amanda lays it on thick.
Yeah.
She is trying so hard. Like, I helped you when you were in trouble. Now is your time to help me.
I get it. Eric's the one person I would try this against, too. I don't think guilt usually works, and it doesn't work here. But I can see why you'd think it'd work on Eric.
I can see why you would, yeah, absolutely go after Eric here. He's a squishy boy.
He's a squishy boy. He holds his ground, though.
He does. And he says it there. He says it later. I'm not backing down from this.
Oh, I do think it's really funny that Natalie has now become a blood-crazed psycho. That Eric gets the chicken. And she's like, I want to kill it.
Yeah.
I've tasted blood. I've killed men. I've only killed them with backstabbing and votes. And now I want to know what it really feels like to take a life.
Natalie going full cold-blooded killer.
Now she wants to literally floss with a jugular.
Yeah. I said it and I was like, no, yeah, that kind of sounds cool. Let's do it.
Yeah, I thought about it and I couldn't, you know, there would be repercussions if I actually did that to Jason. So the chicken, we'll just name the chicken Jason.
And then the other scene was the excuse that we needed to give Amanda time to go dig up the idol. I told her she smelled bad, so she went to go wash her armpits.
Boy, that must have dug quick or, yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, and the show tries to leave us with a, did she dig it up? Did she not dig it up? Could she find it? Of course she found it.
I love a good heist. There's so many heists this season.
Yeah.
This is a great heist.
It's a great heist. Tribal Council.
Well, and you say obviously she found it. I was 90% sure, but I kept going back to a couple of challenges ago where Amanda couldn't find that fucking bag to save her life in the sand.
You know, that's a good point.
And I was like, maybe not.
Oh, man.
But no, once we got the tribal and she started acting like she was going home, I was like, oh, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, we're fine. Everything's good. So, yeah, Tribal Council. James walks in with a full IV bag.
Crazy.
It's seeing him bandaged up on, like, both arms and nuts.
And I feel like the show was like, James, you don't have to do this. And he was like, no, I'm good.
No, I'm going to do it.
I'm fine.
I want the information.
I'm built different.
Amanda lays it on thick again. Like, I couldn't find it. Sucks to go out there and look for something that could save your life, but you can't find it.
Sorry, jumping back real quick.
Yeah.
Eliza walks in like she's seen a ghost. The minute that she walks in, she's like, ah! And I was like, did you not know that James left?
No, they didn't tell him.
That's crazy.
Because they all had the reaction when James is brought
in. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. Because I was like, Eliza, what is that reaction? Are you just playing it up for the camera at this point? But no, yeah, okay. Sorry, anyway.
No, it's okay. It's Amanda saying, like, no, I didn't find it. Oh, darn, I'm going home. It's relaying out, hey, right now the big physical threats are Eric and Amanda.
Not physical. The
big threats?
The big people like them threats, likability threats.
Oh, got it. Okay. Good call out, because I definitely wrote that down wrong. And Amanda then takes that opportunity to lay into Eric.
And we get a "I'm pretty pissed off right now" sighting of the Survivor Sucks comic.
Oh, no. Amanda really pissed off. Well, Alexis says this is one of the hardest votes I'll ever put in. And she is correct.
That is true.
Yep. And that's kind of it. Did you have anything else from Tribal here?
Not from before the vote.
No. So then we vote. And
oh, I guess I'll say that Amanda acted it pretty well. It's ham-fisted for us because we have all that information.
Yep.
But for them at Tribal, when they don't know this, I think it's played pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think all in all, she did a good job here.
Yeah.
We vote. Amanda says, when Jeff asked for any immunity idols, she's like, well,
about that, Jeff.
Yeah. I didn't lie. I just didn't have it then.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
So we read out the votes.
And you get to see whether it's edited from a different part of the Tribal or whatever. It's put in there well, if it is. The moment where Alexis does the math, where she's like, the idol comes out and she's like, you can see her looking and then goes,
oh no.
Oh, it's me.
Yeah. But also, Natalie was not from this.
Natalie's upset, but like I feel like Alexis, I don't know, she doesn't have any inside information, but Alexis like just looks defeated.
It's
like,
literally whoever they decided to choose between the two of them.
Yeah.
And it was Alexis in this scenario.
It's pretty cool.
So Alexis is gone on a 2-0 line. Not a sweep?
I don't think it's a sweep.
All right. I will stand by that. Not a sweep.
A sweep is when the entire tribe says you gotta go. And again, it's just Wyoming said that they have to go.
Yeah. And then Jeff on the way out the door says, you guys are perfecting the art of the blind side. That is both good news and bad news for all of you.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow.
I mean, at this point, how many more blind sides can you have? Like, there's only 5 of you. You're going to get the vibe for, I guess, you don't feel safe at this point in the game moving forward unless you have immunity.
Sure.
You can't be blindsided if you don't feel safe.
How do you think Alexis does in Future Survivor?
We didn't get a lot of her, which makes it tough to say. I would say that she needs to shut the fuck up about what her job is and not tell people.
Mm-hmm.
That made her a major threat. Major threat.
Major threat.
She never really, like, ruffled any feathers, it would seem.
Yeah.
And she has a very strong social game. Like, she had everyone on her side at some point. Maybe lacks a little bit of, like, leadership. I don't know. It seems like she was kind of the second to Natalie, and that's a tough place to be. Being not as good at the challenges means that you're always at risk early. But I think her social game would be enough to carry her most of the time. So I feel like she's a good contender. She could be a threat. I wish I knew more about her actual game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she's like I think she is a threat to win. I think the hardest part of the game for her would probably be the like second through fourth or fifth votes. She's not a first vote problem. She's not like that person's gotta go type of person. But the closer you get to the merge, the more safe she is.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think the closer you get to the middle of the game, because once again, this kind of puts her in a bad spot of, oh, you're a public speaker. I do not want you in the final.
The game's a bell curve for her. Yeah. She's most vulnerable at the beginning and close to the end.
Yeah. Well, she is still public speaking. She is out doing her thing. She does not come back to Survivor, though.
Man, and if Natalie doesn't come back too, like, they're the types of players that this season fucked over so much because they would be stars in a regular season.
Yeah. But yes, she has her company. There's her today.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's also very, like, I talked about it at the beginning of the season and it hasn't really come up, but like the pretty privilege you get, like part of charisma is being somebody that is whatever version of like pretty attractive, whatever that might be. And like she has a very expressive face and is kind of like adorable almost. So yeah, that's something that helps her social game significantly on top of all the motivational speaker stuff. I mean, like, she had Ozzy wrapped around her finger a little bit.
Dang, yeah, she's done a lot. So she has worked in media and TV. She hosted TV shows on Fox Sports, ESPN, CBS, MTV, and TLC.
Wow.
And also has a TED Talk that has been viewed over 1 million times.
Damn.
Dang. And her Protect Her documentary is currently being aired on Amazon Prime.
Cool.
Is a consultant for Netflix. She's okay. All over the place. Good for her. And here's a story. Apparently, she missed the application deadline for this season. And I prefaced this with, remember that story I said from like earlier this season where someone showed up at a casting director's house? Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
But here's her story. Undeterred, Alexis used various connections to find the location for the selection of potential contestants. After talking her way into the building, Alexis was able to convince casting to choose her. Once again, don't do that.
Yeah.
Fascinating, though.
That's some riz.
That's some riz to not be immediately thrown out and said, we're banning you from Survivor for all time.
Right, and proof that she isn't crazy. Because, like, yeah, like, a lot of people that would do that are crazy people, and you'd kind of be able to tell right away that, like, oh, this person might kill me. But no, she gets away with it.
She gets away, and she gets into Survivor.
Wow. And has a good run of it.
Yeah.
Unfortunate set of circumstances for her.
Your protagonist of the episode.
I mean, it's Amanda.
Yes.
It's gotta be.
It's gotta be.
Which, this is the government-issued Amanda protagonist episode, which she had a few in China, but this is the James... Ironically, James goes home in both of them, but this is the James blindsided with China episode for Amanda this season.
Sure.
Her move.
Nice.
All right. It doesn't involve James this episode, but James does go home.
Poor James.
Poor James and poor Alexis.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say?
Nope, that's it.
All right. Then we won't do it for a week, but I'm excited to watch this next episode with you.
It's a week. Yeah, I have a really busy week. It'll be fine.
Bumper. That'll do it for this episode of the Survivor Turn Back Time podcast. Jared, what would you like to promote?
It's like I forget. We do this twice a week, and we've been doing it for 2.5 years, and it's like every time I forget that we're going to do this. I would like to promote drinking water.
Mm.
Drink enough water. I'm not very good at it, and I would like to be better. And, you know, if you think you're drinking enough water, no, you're not.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you, Stephen?
I'm going to promote... If you live in an area that is, let me preface this different. If you're seeing what's going on in government and you're not quite happy with what's going on, especially if you live in Republican-controlled areas.
In America, specifically. We have a lot of international listeners.
We do. Please, please, please reach out to your congressman, your senator, and let them know what you feel. Because right now... Republicans have control and are kind of bowing down to the wills of one person. And so if you don't like that, reach out. You have more power than anyone in a Democrat controlled area right now.
Yes.
Which is wild.
I would love to stop living in interesting times.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, legitimately, those representatives are part of the reason they're not, that they are bowing down is of a fear of a primary challenge.
Yep.
Losing their job to their own party rather than in an election. So especially if you can convince them, or you are a right-leaning independent or Republican voter in those areas, you have a lot to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Interesting times indeed.
I'm sick of it. I want some precedented times for the love of God.
For my co-host Jared, this is Steven.
My host Steven, this is Jared.
So precedented.
I almost forgot my own name.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.